Welcome to KHEM Radio, the show that challenges what you think you know. The world, if you believe media and government, is filled with terrorists and pandemics. But there's a better world out there, and it's called reality. Hi, I'm Kay, and you're listening to this show thanks to Ab at Fakeologist.com. The benefit of being a fakeologist is that we don't have to worry about terrorists or pandemics because these are just scare campaigns. There's a lot of fakery out there, and we need to talk about it. Turns out, reality is pretty amazing. I thought that my journey to figure this all out was about facts and data, but it's about working with other people. Information and collaboration is a very powerful tool, and you are the key. Come to Fakeologist.com and join some conversations, or start one yourself. Welcome to KHEM Radio. This is June 4th, 2015. This is episode 37. We're climbing up there with our episodes. See how long we can stay on this gravy train called KHEM Radio at fakeologist.com. I'm waiting for a guest today, David Weiss. He has the website Deep in the Rabbit Hole, D-I-R-T, the rabbit hole. Wait. Supposed to be dearth, but I'm deep inside some. Anyway, rabbit dearth. Let's just Google that. Let's get that right. Let's just not guess. Deep inside the rabbit. I am so sorry, David. I have this memorized. I don't need to write it down. Yeah, deep inside the rabbit hole. That is it. .com. And he has a lot of different topics. He has 9/11. He has, is the earth a ball? We've been talking about that a lot here at fakeology.com about what is the actual shape of the earth? About geoengineering, ISIS, the ET truth embargo, Ebola scam. Oh yeah, Ebola scam. Exactly. So a lot of good things. Today he said he will talk about 9/11 and his personal experiences with us, but we're waiting for him to show up. He is not around yet. And while we wait for him, we're going to go to fakeologist.com and read a few posts. One that caught my eye, posted June 3rd, is titled, Chemtrails Are Airborne Waste Dumps. I get poked about chemtrails many times, but I really am not avoiding the topic for any particular reason other than I don't see them as anything other than contrails. If I had to pick a reason behind them, if they are not contrails, then I think the KISS principle applies to Miles' explanation here. So let's go to the link. Who is this Miles you speak of, Ab? Let's find out who this Miles person is. Oh, Miles Mathis. He has a lot of nice papers. This one is on chemtrails and other topics by Miles Mathis. And he published this April 15th, 2015. I'm just going to read like the first couple paragraphs. Since my works have now been republished on the big sites like Rents, Veterans Today, and other places, I now get many emails from readers comparing me to Dave McGowan, Donald Jeffries, Ed Chiarini, and others. I'm writing this in part to tell you what I tell them. I have nothing in common with any of these people. I said it like that because it was bolded. Although we research many of the same subjects, my methods and conclusions are just the opposite of theirs. So why does anyone think we have anything in common? For example, McGowan has researched many serial killers. Does he conclude that they were all faked? No. He has studied Laurel Canyon and the Zodiac Killers. Does he conclude that both the Zodiac and Manson murders were faked? No. Kevin Barrett from Veterans Today emailed to ask me for an interview on my Zodiac paper. He said he had interviewed Dave McGowan and sent me the link. The entire interview is misdirection from both sides. So why would I wish to be included in something like that? There you go. That is Miles Mathis. Just keeping it real. Keeping it real with about what he believes and what's truth and what's not. So good on you. Now let's see. We can go down to some chemtrail business. Farther down. Not hitting the chemtrails yet. We're on page 5. There we go. This is a page, not the middle of his document, The spooks assume that enough noise can drown out anything, but I have found by long experience that the truth tends to rise above the din by a music all its own. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to read that again. The spooks assume that enough noise can drown out anything, but I have found by long experience that the truth tends to rise above the din by a music all its own. Somehow, the truth just sounds different than a lie. It is in a different key so that no amount of noise can cover it. Oh, I love Miles, man. You are a poet. That is beautiful right there. With that still ringing in your ear, I will conclude by giving you a taste of future research. I have been looking briefly into chemtrails, and it looks to me like the whole bioengineering line is a ruse. There are some bioengineering tests going on, cloud seeding and the like, but most trails have nothing to do with that. It appears to me that we simply have an increased amount of air dumping of pollutants that can't be dumped on the ground. To see what I mean, remember that they have been doing a similar thing with fluoride since 1940. I'm going to butt in right here for a minute. This Kaham talking now. This isn't Miles Mathis's paper. Yeah, he's so right on that. Because they did a big deal on fluoride. And I found several government documents where the government personnel says it is more beneficial to the earth that you spread it out little by little in our stream, in the water system of our earth than dump it all in one spot. That was the federal government's position on fluoride. Had nothing to do with teeth. Now, the people who give the fluoride to the cities, or they create grants so that cities can start fluoridation, they're the ones with all the papers that say it's good for your teeth. But if you look at the actual government legal documents, these are some of the things that were found. So good on you, Mathis. You get one gold star in my book for that. All right, back to the paper. Let's repeat a little bit. To see what I mean, remember that they have been doing a similar thing with fluoride since the 1940s. With increased aluminum, fertilizer, and weapons manufacturing, they had a lot of fluoride waste that they couldn't just dump in rivers or in oceans. Laws were already on the books forbidding it. So someone had a brilliant idea of putting it into the drinking water in small amounts. This would effectively dilute it on a nationwide level. The toxicity would be low enough to go unnoticed in most people in the short term, and profit could even be made by selling it to municipalities as a dentifrice. All right, let's keep going. Well, they are doing the same thing in the air now. Due to increased manufacturing of all things toxic, think computer industry for a start, they now have a whole smorgasbord of noxious chemicals that can't legally be dumped in land or on sea. So someone had the brilliant idea of diluting the toxicity by mixing these chemicals into the worldwide air. I don't know, though, because right away I'm busting in again. This is Kaham, not Miles. Jet fuel is expensive as heck. This doesn't seem cost effective just to get rid of junk. Why don't we cost that out? Let's do that. Let's cost that out. How much jet fuel do you use to get up to 30,000 feet, 40,000, 50,000? Maintain that altitude for a distance and traverse back and forth across the sky. Is that cost effective to dump some chemicals into the air? I don't believe the government does anything for a single purpose. Let's go back to the fluoride a minute. There's a lot of studies I found in some of these government universities, one of them in Rochester, New York, when I was studying fluoride. They knew the effects of fluoride completely. They were just repeating studies that had been done in the 20s. Nothing's a mystery about fluoride. These agencies have it all worked out. It's been used before. They did, they tested it on humans. Doses of fluoride makes people dull and unreactive, and it can dumb you down after a time. So if the government knows ahead of time that fluoride affects people like a sedative, kind of dulls you down, makes you less aggressive, and they're dumping it in the air, to me, the more logical thing would be to say maybe it has multiple purposes, not just one. And that would be the keep it simple, stupid idea. You're going to get a lot of mileage out of one thing, not just one thing for its own sake, it seems to me. But let's keep going. So we got now a smorgasbord of noxious chemicals that can't be dumped legally on land or sea. So someone had the brilliant idea of diluting the toxicity by mixing these chemicals into the worldwide air. So I'm repeating a little bit. It would then rain down on the land in such small quantities per square foot that we would see little short-term effects. The stirring of the atmosphere would naturally dissipate the initial release, and the ground would soak up the rest. Unfortunately, this plan was even more foolhardy than the fluoride plan for many reasons. One, because they have to use existing plane routes as dump routes. No. What? They cannot dump only over uninhabited regions. Existing plane routes. Well, I don't think so. I've watched these chemtrail planes go across my sky, and I have SeaTac Airport is due south here. So I know the landing patterns. I know the flight patterns of planes coming in, and the chemtrails do not follow. I'm going to repeat that, Miles. Chemtrails do not follow existing flight plans. One is because of their ceiling. Chemtrails are above 30,000. Domestic airline flights are below that. So no, they don't even. No, sorry, I didn't see that. So the dissipation from winds is not enough to spread the chemicals over a wide enough area, so the concentrations hitting the ground are way too high. If, they're saying, if we just used planes already on the same routes, it would delay commercial flights and require explanation. Oh, so he's saying it's not going to follow commercial flight paths. Okay, you're right. It's not going to. And finally, the ground does not soak up this contamination. It goes immediately under the surface and the groundwater into crops, gardens, and lawns into the ocean. Even if the ocean is not harmless, even in the oceans, if it's not harmless, since the given flight paths ensure it goes into coastal areas where it is driven back onto the beaches, in short, it's a disaster. You know, they don't use local flight paths. Well, he keeps talking about it. I mean, maybe, I guess, but then you have to think of, if you're going to say this, that they're just getting rid of chemicals, well, then we have a choice. So if you're the government or you're a company, you have a chemical to get rid of. How does that work, Miles? Do you have, like, commercial chemtrail companies that will get rid of the chemicals for you at Chemtrails or Us? What you got, we'll get rid of it. The worse it is, the more you got to pay, though. Is that like what's going on here with the chemtrail dumping? Or perhaps it is just, I mean, who gets to fly that high? That has to be government. So then people are calling the government, yo, government, I got this chemical and shit I got to get rid of. You want to come get it? Or do you have to be already a friend of the military to get your chemicals dumped up there? How's that work? Like, Bill Gates calls Obama, hey, Obama, I got some chemicals from my computer make I'm going to send up to you. I don't know. I'm trying to work this out in my brain. It doesn't. I'm going to see how's that network work. Yeah, I can't make it match reality. So that is one of the posts at ecologist.com. Chemtrails could be for dumping. Could be. Maybe they have multiple purposes. There's another post, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. I always enjoy Dave McGowan's radio interviews, even if he doesn't quite agree or get my 9/11 ideas. Let's hope, if he's really sick, for a quick recovery. Yes, we do. So we're going to go Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. And Laurel Canyon, of course. Is this Laurel Canyon? It should be. Where they say the CIA has filmed stuff. Oh, it's Facebook. I don't want to sign into Facebook. I'm not going to go there then. A lot of weird stuff there with Laurel Canyon. All right, let's go to the next post. Your culture is created. John Adams from hoaxbusterscall.com, letting us know how your thoughts and talking points are not your own. Do we need any more proof than this viral cover of a non-issue super distraction? The same picture I'm going to talk about in a minute, that's in Ab's post. My daughter sent it to me in a text. I'm like, who's this? She goes, Mom, come on. I'm like, what? I don't know. Who's this person? She's got long black hair. She's a very handsome type woman on the thin side. She's wearing like a bathing suit. It's white. It's like she's wearing a bustier because her boobs are like, you know, out there and very, very pretty. So it wasn't a woman. In fact, it's part of the Kardashian gang. Bruce Jenner is a woman now, I guess, or wants to be. So that's what the picture was, this sexy, sultry Bruce Jenner. And if you're not familiar with Bruce Jenner, if you're in your 50s and you watched the Olympics in the 70s, let's see, when did Bruce Jenner win all his medals? Bruce Jenner Olympic medals. Because he was, he kept track and field, the men's decathlon. He won medal after medal. 1976 Olympics. We were all cheering for him, man. It was amazing. He like embodied health, fitness, a winning mentality, man. That was Bruce Jenner. He was amazing. And now he's a woman. That's okay. You know, I don't care if you're a man, what you do. But the fact that he's being promoted, and this is my issue, it's the promotion. I don't care what Bruce does, chop it off, you know, sew something additional on. I don't care. But why is he being promoted is my question. It appears without judging, no judgment here, it appears that there is some sort of gay agenda being promoted in the media. I think we talk about it a little bit here. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're gay, I'm not hating on you. I'm asking the question, why are they promoting the gay agenda? Now, you might say, no, they're not. Well, let's look at it. One of the gay agendas is that 10% of the population is gay. Well, that's not true. It's less than 1%. If I do a check on my students and how they feel, I would say 1% of my students are gay. And my children, the known gays in their group, after growing up, there may be one more person gay in their class, but no more. That's it. It's less than 1% of people I know. So, but why would, you know, to say it's 10%, well, why not just be truthful? Is that a noble lie, perhaps? Is that what that is? To say that? Oh, wow, I got a plane going right over my house, right on top, but I'm not part of any flight plan. Should I duck under something? Right overhead. That's weird. Straight, exactly over my house. That is weird as heck. That almost never happens. So let's go back to the gay agenda for a minute. And again, if you're gay and you're listening to this, I'm not hating on you. I don't care what you do. Gay, straight, whatever. That's your choice. That's your life. I don't care. I believe in human rights and all people should be treated with respect and kindness and care no matter what their habits, traits, or how they were born or whatever. Or their activities or things they choose to do. I don't care. As long as you're not hurting others. So this isn't hating on gays at all. But I've been thinking about this a lot lately and about the gay agenda. And it seems to me it is one to separate us, to make us different people, to separate me from my neighbor. I'm this group. You're that group. It doesn't seem like the gay agenda, is it helping gays? What I think it might be helping some gays, at least if you think like to make it more normal so people don't hate. But so gay people listening to this, there's a problem in the gay agenda. You think it's your friend, but here's the issue. Hidden in the gay agenda, hidden there, is the need to separate people into groups. Is that a good thing, to separate people into groups? I never think that's a good thing. Martin Luther King, when he was doing his march, there's the guy who did a talk about this I should come up with the name. I'll try and find that, Martin Luther King. And what he said was early on in the movement, they wanted to do a human rights movement, not a civil rights, because a civil rights, then only one small group can gain benefit from that. But if it's human rights, then it's everybody's all over the globe. But hearing the story early on, I think the group was led down a path maybe wasn't the natural path of the civil rights movement, where blacks got the right to vote and things. If it had been a human rights movement, then the whole world could have belonged to it instead of just a small group in the United States. I mean, I know we had sympathizers, but still they could. Seems like it was fortuitous that the movement for African Americans to get equal rights in America was called civil rights, because it made it small and separated it from other groups. And that's not a good thing either. The movement itself was great if it would have, it did great things. There's also something else I noticed hidden in the gay agenda. Oh, that's weird as heck. That plane's turning around again and going over my house again. What? That is strange. Huh. All right, go back to what I was talking about. The gay agenda. Oh, hidden in the gay agenda is a way to make people feel isolated and frustrated and angry that things are changing and things are different. I think that the gay agenda is in your face for a reason, for a purpose, to make people want to push back against it. You're throwing that at me, that gay agenda, so hard. I feel the need to push back at it without even thinking about it. I want to push back at that gay agenda. I didn't feel anger towards gays before, but now with this gay agenda in my face, and this is what some people might be saying, not myself. I understand it for what it is, propaganda. But other people might want to say, I feel the need to push back. I need to just, in order to push back, maybe I need to, push back against gays too. Because they're pushing at me. You're pushing everything at me. Why can't I push back at you? So see, the gay agenda, I don't think it helps gays. I think it does more damage than good. And when we talk about the gay agenda and we want to say why gay marriage is a bad thing. Well, I notice when I hear people talk about it, I hear them use words and phrases that are from the media, like it'll destroy the family unit, or it'll destroy the institution of marriage, or something like this. But all those words that you're saying right there, they were given to you. They were given to you so that you could be on one side of this issue, maybe go against the gay agenda. Or they were given to you so you could be on the other side of this issue, maybe to support the gay agenda. But my point is, whatever side you're taking, it was given to you to take. You're falling right into their hands, man, falling right into their hands. Instead, I propose this. People are just people, and everyone should have equal rights. So every time I hear myself in defensive or support of anything, I think of my words. What did I just say? Where did I hear those words first? Damn it, what if they're not your own? What if they're not your words? What if they're the media's words? So I would caution people, when you come to any issue and you choose to take a side, you've already lost, man. You've already lost, because they gave you that side to take that was not your side. Where did that issue come from? It came from the media, and the sides of that issue came from the media. I propose the gay agenda is a false issue. So like abortion, they make you go on one side or the other. I don't want to be gay, but I am okay if you are. And I think most people feel like that. I have never seen a person. I have a few gay friends, and I've never seen a person approach them. And I've asked them before, and no one's approached them and said, you know, dude, you're destroying the sanctity of marriage there by being gay like that and wanting to marry. That's something we say in the privacy of our own home, but we don't say it out loud. But I'm thinking, if you think how you feel about someone you know that's gay, the position you take against or in support of gays is usually from the media. It's what I've noticed with a lot of people I work with. Now, here at fakeology.com, we try to enlighten ourselves a little bit more than that. So sometimes I'm like, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I think it pays to say it out loud sometimes. When you choose to be on one side or the other of an issue, you've already lost, because you're choosing their sides that they gave you. That was my point on that. All right, Bruce Jenner, you're sexy. Stop that. All right, next. So easy to fake it. Here's another fake photo you might be familiar with. And it looks like there's clouds and it's smoke coming between two skyscrapers and people on the sidewalk running and screaming. It's one of the 9/11. But if you look at it, the clouds are in blocks, like they was pasted there from someplace else. They're just big blocks all in this corner. So that's clearly fake. Fakes here, fakes there, fakes everywhere. Today we have five more photos you may have seen passing through the giant digestive tract known as the internet recently. But don't be fooled, these are all fake. So the ab is posting this website. Let's see what it's called. Five more viral photos that are totally fake. Factually is the name of it. One of them is a lady in an empty store with the shelves all dirty. I guess the store was empty for a little bit. The shelves weren't as dirty. But that's good. I like to know. What did I hear today on no agenda. When you have to retract something, there's a website you can go to, Retraction. What's the Retraction website? Where if a news story has to be retracted, they keep it all posted so you can go see. Let's see, Retraction of News Story. See if that website comes up. No, it's not coming up again. But as I'm listening to this, oh, that's good. That's good. They got websites to check on the media. And that if the media tells a story that's wrong, then the media has to retract that story. And this website is proof, this retraction website, which I'll try and find it in a minute, is proof that the media tells you when they get it wrong. Huh? No. No, they don't tell you. This is a ruse, Adam Curry. I'm sorry, sir. You really seem to enjoy this website. But that's just how the media pretends they're checking themselves. They got to throw out these fact-checking or someone got it wrong stories. Because it is my belief that they are not a free type of business that the public thinks they are. It's not like the movie show, Intrepid Reporter, running around getting news stories, getting yelled at by the editor. I told you, we're done with that story. I'm getting heat from above. And then the reporter goes out and it's like, I'm going to get this story anyway because it's important. No, what I think the news is more like is they go to their computer, open up their email, and they see what they are told, the editor. He knows what stories that have to be written and posted and put in the newspaper. If you look, there's hardly any reporters anymore. There's a lot of AP stories and Reuters stories. Seems like most stories in any paper come from AP and Reuters. So they seem to be the group that filters all the stories. And if you go to them to get it and you stay on that agenda, you're pretty safe. But there's definitely an agenda of what gets posted and what doesn't. So it's, the name of this website is retractionwatch.com to show you that the media watches itself. No, the media doesn't watch itself. Sorry. All right, they got a few things here. Let's go, Retraction Watch. How do we get to the, this looks like the front page. Cell Press investigating possible image manipulation in influential yeast genetics paper. Huh? Flood paper washed away after oversight leads to publication of wrong manuscript. I'm reading titles from Retraction Watch. Yet another investigation cast doubt on Forster's findings. He responds with outrage. This actually looks quite interesting, though. Asphalt paper paved over for allegedly plagiarizing a student's thesis. They're clever with the titles, too. These things can't happen in every lab. Mutant plant paper uprooted after authors correct their own findings. New York Times pushes for more focus, funding on research misconduct. Well, Retraction Watch has some interesting things in it. And I would also say it doesn't matter if it gets retracted. That would only be for the intellectual who worries about such things. Honestly, your local guy, your local gal reading the paper, what, looking at MSNBC, looking at, you know, their websites for their news. They just skim. They don't even read the articles. They skim the title, look at the picture, and move on. That becomes their reality now. Once it gets out there, it can't get put back. So if you're going to tell me, let's see, suboptimal, industrial optimization paper crushes by author's serious error of judgment. You got to get down into here. The result should not be published. Company confidentiality agreement squashes two insecticide papers. Oh, that's kind of good, actually. A confidentiality agreement. I'm interested in those because I think a lot of psyops that happen, and a lot of government work in general. If you're going to work for the government, you have to sign confidentiality agreements. West Virginia University biologists have retracted two papers on insecticides for fruit pests due to a confidentiality agreement with a chemical manufacturer stating that the results should not be published. The retracted 2014 article in Arthropod Management Tests, Control of Internal Lepidoptera and Other Insect Pests in Apples 2013, and the other study is Control of Oriental Fruit Moth and Other Insect Pests in Peach 2013, were written by WVU West Virginia University entomologist Daniel Frank and plant pathologist Alan Biggs. We've been unable to find abstracts for the papers, but here is a sister paper Frank and Biggs published in 2012. Control of Internal Lepidoptera and Other Insect Pests in Apples, 2012. Evaluating various insecticides for the control of internal lepidoptera of an experimental plot of red delicious apple trees in West Virginia. That happens a lot, though, in the chemical and the like with Dow Chemical and the Roundup. Who does Roundup? Monsanto. If they don't like the results of their studies, they don't publish. It's not like you'd think. This is the first time this has happened either. There have been other universities who are working with Monsanto. Because the results were negative, Monsanto chose not to publish. This happens all the time. And they said, they told the university, since we own those chemicals, we say you can't publish, and they don't. So nothing bad ever gets out about Monsanto if they can help it. So that would be like another way to gatekeep, I suppose. Alrighty, let's go back to fakeologist.com, see what's coming up next. Clicking on. I think in just a minute, Dell, we'll take about a five-minute break. Welcome back to KHAM Radio. This is June 4th, 2015, episode 37. And we are waiting for David Weiss to show up from deep inside the rabbit hole, but we got a little problem, folks. He has unfriended me on Skype. So, David, where'd you go, hon? You've unfriended me, and so has PK. So I tried to send PK a Skype message to say, hey, where's your boy David? And it says, this person has not yet shared their details with you. So PK unfriended me on Skype. And so did David. So I'm having trouble getting a hold of him. So part of the issue that I wanted to talk to David Weiss about is that he said he saw the second tower fall while he was standing in New Jersey. Then he had to leave, and he couldn't see the third building, which is building 7. He didn't see that fall because he had to go. The first or the second, it was a confusing conversation. He saw one of the towers fall. So, David, if you're going to be like, no, I didn't say that, one of the towers fell. Which one? I'm not sure. But I think it was one of the big ones, not Building 7. So he saw that from New Jersey. Now, he also said that he knows the towers were occupied because sometime prior to the towers falling, a couple days prior, he had a meeting in the towers. So he knows they were working. So we got some questions for him because there's a few issues here. So far, all of the video evidence we have found is manufactured. And one of the things, David, that you told me is you said when you saw the tower fall, it looked just like it did on TV. Well, there's an issue with that because we know the TV imagery to be fake also. So we have with us today Hoy Poloy, and Ab will be dropped in. Hi, Hoy.
Hello.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Good. Pretty good.
Good.
Good enough.
Oh, there you go. That's good. So we were talking before the show, Hoy, about some things that did and didn't happen on 9/11. And you mentioned that how could David have seen the towers fall when they were enveloped in smoke?
Yeah, I mean, right. So we don't know what happened and what really didn't happen. We know what we were told, and we know that there's problems with what we were told. We know it's kind of suspicious when someone endorses the official story, which doesn't add up to all the eyewitness accounts, and so that seems suspicious, I guess.
Are there eyewitness accounts for the buildings being enveloped in smoke?
That's a really good question.
Because that's pretty much our assumption, right? It was a military grade obscurant.
I think that's a pretty good assumption, although from New Jersey, maybe from Brooklyn, you might have seen something. I'm just not sure what. People seem to claim a lot that they saw something, and then they describe the television program, and sometimes you get out of them that actually, yeah, they didn't see it with their own eyeballs. Their own eyeballs were glued to a TV screen, so I don't know.
If we could summarize that whole 9/11 day in like 5 minutes, I think it would be helpful to people listening to kind of get our viewpoint. You want to take a crack at that?
Okay. Well, okay, so
You can take 10 minutes because I know it's a long story there, you know.
okay, yeah, let's see. So it started with people were suspicious of the news, and people were trusting of the news, and people were not paying attention to the news. But few people had an understanding of the incorporation of special effects in the news. So even though there were all these different ideas about what happened, eventually a certain kind of suspicious mind started looking at the videos and realizing that there's something deeply wrong with them. And so, of course, the obvious problem that comes with that is that it throws out people claiming that the videos are evidence of what they saw. And then witnesses have to be interviewed. And it turns out that the most of them, the majority of them, work for the media and were simply reporting what sounds like scripted language about what happened. So then you have to go to the very scant reports of independent non-media professionals reporting what they saw, and you get all sorts of different stories. None of them describe a large airliner crashing at any time. They're all about small planes or the building just exploding. Or people not being able to see anything. Oftentimes people just couldn't see anything. So, that's been our strange situation for a while. And then this reality that we're experiencing is constantly being combated by a sort of oligarchical monopoly of media, which producing all these little interesting dramas and fairy tales spun off from the media story. So if you try to get people to calm down and just let go of all those to realize that there isn't a lot of reliable witness testimony, you keep running into, well, but I saw this story on TV, or I read this book, and that's about as far as you can get with people before they get really mad and defensive about it. Is that a good summary?
That's great. That's it. Yeah, so when we hear people who've seen, they have said they are a witness. I want to interview you in a bad way. I want to find out if you are explaining what the media is telling you or you're explaining something wholly different. And for me, I would expect an eyewitness to explain what the media did not explain. Don't you see what I'm going there? Oi?
Sorry, what?
Well, I would expect an eyewitness not to be the story we saw on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because we don't really know the techniques they used to fabricate this imagery. So what might have gone on behind the imagery might have been close to reality, or it might have been really, really far from reality. But if they had to go through all the trouble of using some kind of cryptography technology to fake the city of New York and fake the Pentagon and some view of Shanksville, then why would they be covering up what actually happened with something close to what did happen, fabricated in a simulation? It makes kind of more sense, like you say, that maybe it's very different from how they say things went down. But I guess we don't know, and we'll never know. So.
Well, there you go. So David could have seen something, and I can't say he didn't. And that might have happened. But what I know didn't happen is on his website, on Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, when I was looking a little more, I see the directed energy weapon, and I click on that, and I'm like, oh, it's Judy Wood. And that disappointed me a lot.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, Judy Wood, dude, come on. There's nothing true about that nonsense.
Well, yeah, and nothing verifiable, for sure, and a lot of nonsense.
You were talking about the picture earlier. We talked about the burnout car picture that Judy Wood uses a lot in her her videos, and sometimes when she does she'll go and do a presentation to people. There's a video of that. She uses the burnout cars picture, and you had told me that has, you know, who probably made that picture.
Yes. Well, there is a character who claims to have made a lot of those, which Judy Wood doesn't credit. So my question is, why won't she or this entity or this group that represents the Judy Wood movement admit that George Jojo Rengo, the New York scam artist, the art scam artist and Fisher character, who claims to have made all those photos, why isn't he credited? Probably because they kind of want to downplay the fact that, just like we suspect about the 9/11 videos, a lot of the fake evidence comes from just a few people working in a close team.
That makes sense.
I think, anyway.
That makes sense. So I'm looking, how long, do you remember when Judy started doing her, she came out with directed energy as the reason the towers fell?
No. Simon would know, but I think it's because Simon made the first version of September Clues in 2007, and then it was pretty shortly after that group, Jim Fetzer and Ace Baker and Judy Wood and all them, got together, I think Kevin Barrett, or anyway, a crowd in Wisconsin, I think, and probably they were wondering what to do about people uncovering the truth, and they said, well, we'll just have to lead the truth movement ourselves, and so we can run it into the ground. And so you got the directed energy person and the micro nukes person, and the, you know, they only inserted the plane, but actually the city was real person, and any way that they could endorse the truth half-heartedly, people to the hangouts.
Yeah, half-heartedly. So directed energy, is that like a beam coming from a plane or a satellite? I haven't really looked into it because it just seems so fantastically ridiculous that I'd never bothered. But
yeah, well, one of the stories is the International Space Station shot down a beam. Since we have been looking at the International Space Station footage we've discovered that a lot of that is really phony in embarrassing ways. So that kind of throws into the big question pool again. Well, if the ISS isn't entirely real, or it's being augmented with fakery, or it's not even real at all, you know, it's just a asteroid or some balloon or high-flying aircraft, or maybe it's even a satellite, but it's just nothing there except a light, then how is this thing shooting down space weapons?
Yeah. Well, the ab made a post called A Missile Named Mac. I don't know if you saw that
one.
Yeah,
I heard that show that you did about that. I hope other people heard that. That was great. And you found out that, yeah, the ICBMs are nonsense and so forth, and were kind of invented again by a small group of people, along with the concept of the space race and all that. So.
Yep. And they talk about the very first satellite. They called it a satellite, but it was actually a balloon.
Oh, right. The Sataloon?
Sataloon. I forgot about that. The Sataloon. It was it had a whole bunch of stuff on it, but basically it was a rubber balloon with a Mylar coating, like a balloon within a balloon, kind of. Not even a real satellite. So I thought, what if there's still that today? What if that's
Why
it?
Not?
Why not?
Put a little
Why
propeller
does it
on it?
Yeah, flying through the upper atmosphere. Yeah. Oh, my God. What if that's it? What if that's all our technology? And they used it passively, too. Were you aware of that? Boy. So a passive satellite means it's just something to reflect a signal off of. It doesn't do anything itself. So you just try and aim your communication beam at the big balloon, and it's supposed to bounce off to another receiving station down on Earth. It's probably, maybe that's really what it is today. Nothing different. This is my idea.
Yeah, Kay, Hoy dropped there. Oh, you're back, Hoy. That's good.
Oh, so who dropped? Yeah. Me or Hoy?
No, Hoy dropped.
Me.
Okay.
Oh, all I heard from UK was
Dang it. Oh, I was just talking about how the Sataloon was a passive satellite. It just, you know, it just reflected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just reflected images from a what do you call that? Something that shoots transceiver and a emitter. I don't know, what do they call an emitter?
Can I just interject for a second?
Yeah.
Because I was listening to you, and I remember seeing this. I don't know whether I see it, if someone posted a link in Clues Forum or on Fakeologist or where the hell I seen it. But it was like one of these promotional videos for a company. You know, you ever see these things where they're showing off what they're doing? And this was a crowd that were down in Africa. And that's literally what they were doing. They had balloons in the sky, and they had little relays, and they were relaying the information. It was the idea of bringing the internet to Africa. You know, I don't know if you guys saw that. But I kind of went, wow, you know, that's pretty much, you know, one way of getting around this whole, you know, idea of satellites in remote areas, you know, or you know what I mean, where they wouldn't have, you know, poles all over the place with microwave dishes.
Yeah, I mean, I think let's get something straight. Yeah. Kay has been talking to a lot of people and asking about it. Simon has been talking to a lot of people and asking about it. These satellite companies. Oh, so you work with satellite? No, it's all ground wave. Yeah, we just beam it from antenna to antenna. Okay, so. But surely satellite cell phone companies, no, yeah, you know, we just use the towers too, you know, that's just a marketing thing. And Turns out, the more you, I mean, people, you should do this. Ask these so-called satellite people, are satellites being used? 9 times out of 10, I guarantee you'll hear, no, actually, that's a marketing thing.
Exactly. Spot on. Wouldn't it be funny if it was just these big giant balloons kind of hovering with Mylar coating? You know, they have some technical equipment on them, probably, like you said, a little propeller. But that's the height of our technology. I know we have processing power. I'm not doubting that. But when people say we have, the military has stuff 100 years, you know, or 35 years advance of us, I'm like, really? Really? Don't you think they'd be making money off it if at least at some point?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we don't know either way. Maybe there's some secret reason that they have to keep it all secret, too. But personally, I just don't think that's here or there, because the point is they've lied about the most basic technologies of today.
Right. I mean, maybe what they have is what we have, but faster, better, more powerful, but I don't think it's completely different.
They've got a stealth fighter, but, you know, instead of a normal jet. I mean, they probably have strange technologies. I've had friends who have claimed to have seen things. I believe them. I'm just not sure that satellites are something that are cost effective, really. I just don't know if that's a real thing. And if they are, how exactly they're achieved.
Right? Weren't they using the space station? I mean, no, I'm not the space station. The shuttle to place satellites up in space for a while, besides rockets?
Yeah. It's interesting because the shuttle footage, the shuttle launches, you can kind of go see them in certain states, but you can't get too close. And there's a point where, of course, they disappear. Not really sure what it is that they are launching. And the videos seem to show cross between models or miniatures or CGI.
Yeah. Once you analyze it without any emotion, again, it's kind of disappointing. These things appear not to be real. Doesn't look like they're actually putting that million-pound brick up into space.
The good news is that a lot of those people that supposedly died in the Challenger are still around, and they're like professors now in California. They have maybe slightly different names, or they claim to be the sister or brother. But so that's kind of good news if you've been a fan of NASA.
Well, there you go. Yeah, all those people didn't die in the O-ring. What about the O-ring? It was a big deal, Hoy. I followed the O-ring scandal for months.
There's something subliminal about that name to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just got a dirty mind, but it just sounds a bit kind of like, I don't know, a little bit, just it hooks you. It just sounds interesting. O-ring.
No, I agree. Yeah, O-ring. I mean, I'm going, what do you do with an O-ring? Where do you put an O-ring?
Right.
I don't know. You know, it's clearly a gasket or something. Why don't they say gasket? So that's to say O-ring. They chose that word and they said it over and over and over again.
Definitely.
All right. Something else I saw, Hoy, on deep in the rabbit hole that kind of, I guess, worried me is here at fakeologist.com, what we try to do is we try and take what's clearly true and promote it, and what's clearly false and call it clearly false. We want to make that line. So here's the information you can trust. Here's the information you can't trust. And in that way, I think we can get closer and closer to the truth. But energy, directed energy weapons have clearly, in our camp, have been, we are very satisfied to know that these are a false idea and they're put there to make people not find Simon Chak's work. So David, you got to get these off your website, hon, because this is bad stuff. Yeah, this is no good. You just got to get rid of that. Judy Wood, we're pretty sure she's controlled opposition and she's put there for a reason. So you need to take this off your website.
It would be another thing if there were evidences. It would be another thing if people had reliable showcased technology that people were touring around and trying to sell to an industry or something like that. Instead, all you have are a couple suspicious videos released and nothing to do with the kind of technology that they claim was used in so-called terrorist attacks. So, yeah, I feel like right now it's bad information. You know, anything could be good. Anything could have good information. The problem is the huge gaping absence of good information when you dig through all the stuff they claim to be evidence for directed energy, and you're left with some really pathetic scraps.
All right, well, let's talk about that for a minute. What do you think is the biggest glaring hole in the directed energy weapon idea?
Well, the first one for me, sorry, I keep smacking. I'm sure that must be annoying, but I'm just, that's a
habit. You're just copying me. I started smacking lately. I don't know why. It's like
it must be kind of a subconscious tisking. I'm kind of annoyed, and so I'm annoyed with the lies. So I'm just like,
that's
my way of suppressing it. Okay, I'm going to try not to do that anymore. Sorry. I'm also trying not to use like and and that kind of thing. I'm trying.
Yeah, I use the word so a lot. I noticed, so after I listened to my video, I became aware of it, that I'm also a teacher. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm sewing my students to death. Oh, no,
is big these days, and like is awful. We gotta stop that. Put a stop to sewing like. Awful. Yeah. People start off the sentence with so all the time.
It's so, like, overwhelming, you know?
Yeah, what
is the English definition of the word so? What is its purpose in grammar? Does anyone know? Is it a joiner word or a conjunction?
It's a needle-pulling thread, Ab.
Oh, no, thank you.
That's the other song.
Thank you, Julie Adams. Yeah. You're Julie. Andrew.
Yeah, I'm over here with the Hills Are Alive, and I'm always going, you know. So I think we all have our little verbal or whatever they are, hyphens, you know.
They're verbal crutches.
The reason I mentioned the smacking is because my dad pointed it out to me, and I realized he was right, so I'm trying to cut it out. And it only seems to happen to me when I'm talking about these subjects, and I get annoyed. But, okay. What was your question? Sorry.
The biggest gaping hole in the directed energy theory of why the Twin Towers fell.
Oh, that's right. That's why I was annoyed, because I was thinking about the video evidence. That's the biggest hole for me, is they try to tell us that watching and is evidence for the secret technology, instead of pointing out the fact that it's a composite video, there's CGI seeming elements, there's definitely cryptography software compressing and releasing these videos, that kind of thing. So for me, the gaping hole is just the fact that we don't have a great deal of evidence. I've seen one video of some people hopping around in a field because they claim there's a microwave being pointed at them from the back of a Jeep. Fine, that's fine to me. But does something that makes people hop and be uncomfortable, would that dustify a building? I don't know.
Yeah, let's see some actual real world evidence. Why don't we just have them take a brick and apply this magical beam to it? Isn't that'll do it? That'll be good evidence. But to analyze a movie, which was 9/11, and apply mystical forces to Hollywood is ridiculous. And really, we need to dwell on the fact that the media is the message. The media is the weapon. Let's all expose the media as the weapon. We don't need to go down these magical corridors of weapons that have never been demonstrated at all in any convincing fashion anywhere.
There are also claims of, so the cancer is one of their biggest arguments. They say, well, you can't ignore the fact that all these people were hospitalized for some kind of lung disorders and so forth. Maybe.
Yeah.
But have we verified the numbers on that? That definitely is worth investigating, but to say that alone is evidence enough for directed energy rather than the asbestos problem the building had, or military-type obscurance, or any kind of other horrible thing that the military could do besides directed energy. It's not like we're trying to take away the blame from whoever did it. That's not the point. The point is, if you start arguing that it's this thing and then you find out that it's not, you're going to lose your audience where it matters. When you're trying to argue in court that this person has, you know, conspired, and then they say, actually, this doesn't even exist. Where's your argument anymore?
You know, I was thinking, as we always do, as a collective, I think we always think about 9/11. I think one of the best proofs that nobody died and nothing happened is there is no real official urgency to do anything about the alleged victim. There is no real, there's just no real authority that is sweating over this. And normally when there's something as serious as 9/11, there would be a sense of urgency to figure it out. But I think the evidence that nothing happened, nothing actually really illegal happened, is the absence of any official legal challenges, as we all accept the legal system to be working for us. There's been no real charges. There's only been allegations and stories, but nothing really official has really happened, I don't think, that can be proven to have occurred.
I think that's an assumption. Yeah. I mean, also you could say that if anything, quote, illegal, unquote, happened, it was in the echelons of power where illegal things are normal, where the CIA is typically, you know, bending the rules or that kind of thing. And so what you said, I think, is very close to the truth, in my opinion. What you said was, on our level of the legal system, they were careful not to set off any red flags.
There's been no real follow-up. There's been no real tangible. Yeah, there's been no tangible follow-up to 9/11 all these years later. And the reason is nothing illegal really happened. We just have a bunch of media fakery. We have lying, which we, I think, can agree is not illegal, because if you're the only catch that I think we've discussed in the past is raising money. Raising money for a deception is unethical, at the least, but I'm not even sure that's illegal. People voluntarily donate money for a belief. And if they believe that somebody needs money because family members died, I don't think that's illegal. Pardon me?
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, it's almost as if that's some kind of tenet of American culture. This sort of separation of church and state is taken to a sort of ridiculous extreme where, yeah, the media is allowed to lie because it's actually sort of It's just their belief, it's just free speech, and you can't impede free speech. And so they would sort of use that argument in order to squash other people's free speech by saying, well, there's no article saying that, you know, an argument that wins, even if it's through sheer...
I want to analyze, maybe if there's any... Sorry to interrupt. I just had a quick thought. Because one of the things I look at when I'm watching people allegedly testify as if something was real is they use lethal words that they cannot be legalized with. So if I say I believe that the Twin Towers came down naturally, as in a normal controlled demolition, the fact that I said I believe doesn't mean it isn't strong enough to hold me accountable for what I said. So I'm wondering if the anchors and all the officials that were reporting or officially representing the story, the hoax of 9/11, I'm wondering if they were constantly using weasel words, like I believe and there are reports. I wonder if all those statements were deliberately used so that if this ever somehow got pulled into a legal court where we tried to hold these liars accountable, they would say, well, sorry, that's just what I was told. And if you notice, they're always stating in all these hoaxes, well, there are reports. I've got reports, or the video was shown to say, not I saw this happen. No direct statement. So I'm wondering if all the language that has been used is entirely completely scripted to avoid any culpability. What do you guys think of that?
Exactly.
I believe that they are the masters of avoiding culpability, of avoiding any sort of responsibility for their actions, so that even if they did mess up, which I think they did a few times, and you could catch them on blatant lies a few times, they argue that... Sorry, one second.
We are being told, and that's another one.
Yes.
Sources.
Yeah, the media says, where our sources are saying, or we're being told.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. And let me repeat this. On a local level, it is going on in Toronto to this day. Most of the stories I read saying this person was taken to a trauma center. Well, what trauma center in Toronto? We only have two of them. Can you tell me which one of the two? Which one? Don't say a trauma center or a hospital. There was an article in the paper that I posted on psychologist.com. That where allegedly two women were run over by a car right in front of the hospital, right where I know someone that was born. This is a very local hospital. And the report says, and they were taken to a hospital. Well, wouldn't it make sense they were probably taken to the hospital they were run over in front of? Wouldn't a doctor or a nurse that may have been 5 feet away in the emergency room maybe run a gurney out or something? But no, it's all a hospital. Or it's just, they're all weasel words. They're all very unclear and very vague terms that nobody could be held accountable for. Nobody could follow up on. And that is my point.
Yeah.
With the words are very carefully, they're very carefully chosen. And it's very important when you're trying to deceive.
It's like another layer of legalese. It's like media ease, you know. It's just it's their own language. So exactly what you're saying.
Well, I think that's partially true, but I mean, if you look at these people, look at how they think. People finally sort of maybe pinned Clinton, and he was arguing over what the definition of is, and that's a classic example that maybe was just fed to us, even though because it's kind of a repeat of ISIS, is, and all that. But at the same time, there's a point to that, and that is. That is how they operate. They don't even need to use weasel words because for them, every single word is a weasel word. They won't take responsibility for even implying something. So I see your point, but I still think they think that way to a point, but...
It's the language of deception. Their language is deception. when you watch generals and you hear them testifying in front of these alleged committees in Congress, they're asked direct questions. Is ISIS a threat to the United States? Well,
you're breaking up, big time.
My sources are advising me that they believe that there is a potential threat to the homeland. Okay. The generals will say, am I coming through okay? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sounded better.
Yeah, we can hear you.
You sounded better.
The generals will say, well, my sources say that they believe that there is a potential for ISIS to maybe become a threat to the homeland. Wow, how many degrees of separation are we from being fired upon with that very deceptive, very elusive statement? We're a million degrees away from it. It's ridiculous.
That's true.
The general, he can't be held accountable for any direct answer because he has used many layers of deceptive language. Every layer of deceptive language to answer the question. I mean, the obvious answer is, of course not. There's no threat. There's almost no threat from anybody who's a body of water away from you.
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
unless he has a boat or a plane.
Yeah. I think that's true, and then I still think they mess up occasionally, but they would argue that the reason they messed up at that point was, you know, they would say it's not a mess up because in that particular context, I asked a direct question, and they had always have some way to argue around it. But yes, I think that's true. If you try to get these folks into a direct one-on-one interview, it takes a lot to catch them and embarrass them. And that's why they probably don't, you know, they would always refuse to talk with people like us.
Well, that's...
We have direct questions. We only really want yes or no answers. And all our questions should be yes or no inquiry. We don't want any shades of gray. We just want a yes or no answer. And those questions are never asked because I think people are always worried about offending. Did you beat your wife? Yes or no?
Or when have you stopped?
Like this.
When have you stopped beating your wife? That's the one that popped up a few years back with some politician.
Yeah,
it's complete. There's your directional energy weapon. It's the energy of the language, and they use it that way. And then for all the Judy Woodafiles out there, I remember seeing her stuff back in the day as well. And what you would hear from people is on the one hand, they would say they know about predictive programming and they'd cite, you know, that alien invasion film where they blew up the Empire State Building. Remember all that, the top down? They would tell you about predictive programming in the one breath, and then they would tell you about Judy Wood's book and how she got it right with this directional weapon. And, you know, you really just look at it, put the two of them together. There's your directed energy weapon. It's the idea, the whole idea of the weapon that doesn't exist was already put into these people's, into all of our heads at the time, you know? You know what I mean? And then, you know, that's how these people, you know, have it all set up beforehand, you know? That's how the likes of Judy Wood is out there. You know what I mean? It's just another addition to the media. It's like, you know, they did the scam, right, the 9/11 scam, but then behind all that, they had all this ready to go. They had it for years. So even to divide people who just might cop on that something is wrong, and you see yourself today, there's just like a multi-layer of different groups that people can be corralled into, you know?
Well, everyone thought there was something wrong. But they know that only a small fraction will follow up and look into it. And that goes for anything, any subject at all. All these statistics are well known and well compiled. Doesn't matter what we're talking about in any realm. Only a very small fraction of society follows up on any one particular subject. And most people only stick to really topics that directly affect them immediately tomorrow.
Yeah. And they have short memories, too, man. Their memory is terrible.
Well, they also don't learn history. So you can just repeat every 25 years. You have a whole new audience, never heard a thing about anything historical. They just got some broad strokes about this person and that personality. There's no behind-the-scenes analysis. We can just keep playing the same old story over and over again, and it will never be a problem.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be their MO, is just repeat a lie enough times in a row.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. And it happens on a big scale, small scale. It happens on every scale all the time, and it's so easy for me to spot anyway.
May I ask
ridiculous.
A question of y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, I mean, so we can create this picture of sort of us and them, which definitely seems real to us. And bear with me, I'm not taking us to a new age place. But I guess I just wonder, you know, we complain about it and, you know, we can demand that it changes. But is there something that we need to learn from this, like some kind of personality type that exists, not necessarily a psychopathic personality, but one that is just, their culture is constantly lying. That's just their culture, and that's how they've survived. And some of it is maybe arguably psychopathic, but maybe we're kind of freaks because we use language to create literal meanings. It's kind of a miracle that we actually do that I can say cat and you know what I'm talking about. But maybe for them, the connection is a little looser. And they're like, maybe by cat you mean dog. You know, maybe that's how they think. And I don't know. It seems to me we're missing something on that level. What do you think?
Well, I've never been in a position of power, but if I got in a position of power and I wanted to get something done, and I wanted people to go along with it, then I would go to somebody who consults people in positions of power, because, of course, we always go to the expert or someone who has done it before, and just say, what are the tools of the trade to get something done? Do we take a poll? Do we do 1,000 studies? What do we do? We can create an event and really make this thing happen quickly. That's a good tool. It's just herd management. You've got to know how to make things happen. And I think these are just tools. And people in media, people in public relations, people in propaganda, people in the military, people in
people
the intelligence,
in the CFR,
they know,
Trilateral Commission.
They know how to get things done. How do you, they just know how to get things done. They know how to get roads built.
They farm people. That's their job.
Yeah, they just know that really almost most people are very malleable. It doesn't matter what their intelligence level is. They're extraordinarily apathetic. Most people don't want to get involved in anything, even bake sales. You probably only have 2% of the people doing all the work. And Kay might be able to speak to this more because I think she's been a bit of an activist on a local level, and I would say the apathy level is so high, you could almost just walk right over top of people, and unless you step right on their noses, they're not going to care. And the people that get up to those positions of power, they realize, hey, nobody actually cares here. I'm over here. I'm just about to run over you guys with a steamroller of taxes or a new highway. And maybe one or two people will pipe up, and then you can just buy them off, or you can just somehow silence them. This is how the world works. I really believe this is how it works.
It's like you're saying there's a threshold of resistance, and if it's convenient to resist, like if they can choose to not tip somebody, or if they can choose to trip that person that stepped in front of them at a theme park, or something petty, then they'll do that. But if something is truly out of their reach, they just sort of turn their blinders to it because it's too hard to change.
But you know, Hoy, I think that's on purpose. I think apathy is not people's faults. Apathy is created on purpose so that we don't get involved.
I think that's actually true. Okay, I think that's definitely true. I sometimes wonder about what the purpose of all the pharmaceuticals that we are ingesting these days is. Maybe it's more than antidepressant. Maybe it's kind of pacifying.
Well, people are trained to be powerless, and they're also trained to always appeal to an external force to get something done when really, if you have an argument with your neighbor, the best way is to go to your neighbor and say, look, you know, could you do this a different way? But mostly, a lot of neighbors will just call the police on you for the dumbest things when they could just ask you nicely to do something. For instance, don't let your dog wander across my lawn, or that they're just trained to go to any level of authority, any middleman, just to avoid direct confrontation or mediation. Really, most people are very reasonable.
More ways than you can even know. I could give you so many examples of that.
We can all do it. Yeah, I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Especially. In different economic circles. I think that in economic circles that are wealthy, you have a much higher incidence of that, because people, when they're poor, they just have to make community any way they can. They have to make connections. They have to talk with people. And the police obviously become an issue, a problem in their community. Man, so many people.
People are trained to be helpless and apathetic, and they feel powerless. They don't even realize they can just pick up a phone and they could probably get a hold of their own mayor and maybe talk to the person and say, "Look, I need help, or can we do this?" And these people realize that people in power know that if one person writes a letter, that means 1,000 people are probably thinking the same way, but they're just too lazy or busy or have a million excuses why they can't do that and make that voice told. And again, it only takes a very small group to make something happen, because people realize that are in power that there's probably a large group that thinks that way, but only a tiny fraction vocalize or act upon it.
And I think know that's true, yeah. I mean, you can see that in, well, Kay has talked about some of her activism. And I've seen that too happen in my community. People just changing things simply by organizing a little bit. Maybe the question for me becomes, is our government too large? Is our state, you know, is the United States too large of a government to manage without these psyops? Like, kind of like Russia and China have to do them too, because they're just huge.
I believe so. And I think the whole concept of the United States was a good one, where they did not want to have a federal government that was too powerful, because the bigger and the more layers removed from the people, the more unaccountable it is, because it's just that people are just too hard to reach that are in power, and people feel so distant and far away, they just don't even try. They become even more apathetic. Where if the mayor lives beside you, you can just go over the fence and yell at him for something, then he's going to be a little more careful about what he does. But if someone is in a beehive of a government office in a faraway country or state, then he never has to worry about you looking over the fence. So, I really think that the most efficient way for corporations to act is globally. They have one central office that dictates to the entire planet how things are done. It's so much more efficient. And really, I think that's the main goal behind globalism, is because it's just easier. If we make all the laws the same for food and for drugs, it's just so much more efficient to have a business.
Cars,
corporations. It's so efficient. Yeah, it's just an efficiency thing.
Just make it standardized, and we can just, so we don't have to think too hard about it, and we can just go to that one person who does all of that. And
yeah, it's just to me, it's just an evil byproduct.
Locally, you see what you're saying.
Yeah, corporatism, and it's just an efficiency thing. It really is creating the capitalism sort of is almost a Frankenstein that was created in a laboratory. It's a good one. It works pretty well, but this might be the ultimate end of it, in the sense that it's so efficient and it really just keeps squeezing out competition because everyone is driven by profit and loss, and it's a great motivating factor. It works really, really well again, but the main problem is when it becomes too big and global, it's almost automatic. It's almost a destructive force. It's so efficient. And
Ab, can I just say one thing there? We'll probably have to redefine the idea of people coming into power, because you said, you know, when they're in power, right? And I've been just sort of like in my own mind, you know, thinking about this for a long time now. And I think it's just like, you know, the vast masses of people that are apathetic. Anybody that has any kind of, you know, whatever, when they're in a system, they're working in whatever, like you say, they become the mayor or something like that. And then they're perceived to have power, right? And in their own mind, maybe for 10 seconds that they think they've attained some sort of power. And I think that they're pretty much told pretty quickly what their power is. And it's basically you do what comes down along the line. And if not, you might see, and then they might wheel out, you know, whatever, you know, kind of threats or whatever to these people. And I think it's more like a structure like that, you know, in sort of in that sense of it, you know, in government, you know, and whatever. People that are just going in there and, you know, well, obviously they have some sort of ambition and whatever. In first place, I, you know, used to say that if you want to become a politician, it should be automatically disqualified. But you know what I mean? These people are, you know, they get their orders, you know. And then the leader be, you know, like sacked or something, and then there'll be somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think it's as insidious as that. A politician goes in, he might be ignorant and blind to the system, and basically he'll go in office and the bureaucracy will meet him there and say, "Hi, welcome to the system. This is how things are done.
Yeah.
This is how you get a law passed. These are the people that control this department." And really, you realize you have almost, you're literally just the conductor of the orchestra, and the orchestra really just conducts itself. I think you learn really quickly that the system runs itself, and you can make a little, some influences here and there, but I don't think it's really that insidious. They don't,
well,
they're not sit down.
It's like lose your job or do what you know, this is the system, or like what you said there, that, you know, like the whole thing anyway is run by these faceless, nameless, you don't know where they live, civil servants, you know. They're like the cogs in the wheel of this whole machine anyway, you know.
Yeah, so, I don't think they're nameless and safe.
I'm not saying that they, you know, they're brought in and threatened or whatever like that, you know, with their lives or something. But they're basically told, you know, this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
Or you're not in this office, so you don't have that power anymore, you know.
Whereas, well, I don't know if it's so much this is what you have to do, otherwise you're in trouble. They will just tell you, this is what works. If you want to get this road built, this is how it works. This is how it's been done for 100 years, and you might have your own idea about how to do it, but it's not going to work. And if you want it done before the next election cycle, you got to do it this way. Really, in any business, you don't start a business and then just try and do it on your own, try and reinvent the wheel. Really, you just follow a formula that works, I think.
Yeah, it's just the formulas then that are projecting out there at the moment. It's like, you know, this whole, you know, you know, one world government and all this kind of stuff that we're being fed all the time, you know. But then you see things, you know, happening in sort of reality that points towards the same thing, you know. So
it's an thing. This whole idea about technocracy is taking over the planet. That's the real name of globalism. That's the mechanism of globalism is a technocracy. Where if you want to know how to?
I think that's true.
They've been at that since the 30s
If you want to design a town. Like right now, in where we live, we have a booming population area. Then it's driven by immigration, for better or for worse. And if they'll tell you it doesn't make sense to just pave over a farmland and build individual houses that most people don't spend any time in, and there's great plots of land where you water the grass. It's not efficient. You can't put transit there because the houses are too far apart. There is a formula, and that's called Agenda 21, where we tell you how to lay out a city. You make it really intensify it, and you put the services where the people. And technically, it makes sense. The people, it really does. I'm not supporting Agenda 21, but
But you don't want to put people in a box. You know what I mean? It's bad enough that we live in boxes as it is.
Efficient. It's very efficient.
Well, it makes sense from their perspective
and that's why we're the ones that are pushing back against it.
It's just a very efficient system. That's what technocracy is. It's corporatism meeting scientism, and how do you make profit the fastest, the most efficiently, how do you bring an entire country behind you if you want to go take over the Middle East? Well, you create this event. You create an event. They even said they're going to create an event. They lay it out quite clearly. And it almost is like they weren't really hiding it. They release all these documents that are allegedly.
They just borrow it from a movie. They just take it right out of a movie, and they just almost copy the plot. Action for action.
The movie would be almost a test.
It could be the other way around, though. The script is the movie, and then the movie is then it's inflicted. You know.
Well, the movie could be a test, just like a trial balloon. They want to see how people react to it. So if people react negatively to these concepts, maybe they fine tune it.
Forming a thought. I wonder if I could run by you folks. I don't mean to just tell me if I'm too far out there or anything, but can you hear me? Am I chopping
up?
I have a few more minutes, but go ahead.
Well, okay, so the idea is if we know that politics works in the sense that if you yell at your politicians, they kind of scurry and try to find a way to do something, and we know that they're getting orders from their masters and their people who make things happen, saying things like, okay, you can do all this, but you can't discuss how the system actually runs. You know, we don't go there. If we push harder, I mean, like us and people we know, and we make a group, theoretically, those politicians are going to get so squeezed between us and that group that's saying we don't exist. Something's going to change. I don't know what, but something might change. And so maybe, you know, because the problem is, so these people like David who claim to have seen something, obviously they're misinformed, or their job is to misinform. Those are the people who are sort of set up to be the opinion leaders, ones who help us push against these politicians and make policy changes. That's why you know, Sandy Hook was all set up to let's ban guns and this sort of thing, or at least let's attempt to ban guns, and that's going to cause a chain reaction that's already been set up, some set of dominoes that we haven't seen. But if we, from our knowledgeable positions, I mean, I know that we all can't flood Ireland with postcards because we're not Irish citizens, and Dell can't, you know, complain about American politicians.
We might as well try.
Yeah,
I've done my A4 sticky phase. You know, I used to go around plastering the place with different messages and things.
But my point is, now we're not as naive. Hopefully, you know, let's just acknowledge the fact that we're happy that we've come to this place of knowledge about how much it's going on, and now from this position we can start saying things like, we want this to stop. We're seeing through it. Make it stop. And we just build up, and we build up, and we keep pushing on it. What happens? Maybe something good. What do you think?
Yeah, man, that's the thing. The more and more people, the fact that we're even talking about subjects like this, right, gets out there and other people find out about it, you know, and that's what I'm relying on as well. I'm hoping that more and more people, you know, kind of wake up, for want of a better word. I know I go on about that as well. You know, wake up to what? Whatever level you're at. But, you know, I know where you're coming from, Hoy.
Yeah, my point is, we've been doing that for a while. That's kind of been our philosophy is, okay, enough people will wake up. But here's what's happening. When we do that, we end up with more people pretending to have our interests in mind, pretending to be super interested in fakeologist or Clues form or whatever, and saying, yep, you guys sure got it right, and that's why we're protesting HAARP, you know, or some other La La Land thing.
Yeah.
Instead, we say, you know what, we're not, you know, why don't we start choosing? Why don't we start saying what we're going to do a tiny little postcard campaign about? And even if it's tiny and we don't have the numbers yet, if people see what we're doing, maybe, because that seems to happen sometimes, more people will get into it. If they say, oh, what are you doing? What are you organizing? Why are you having a party? Why'd you buy a keg? Oh, it's an anti-propaganda party? Cool. It just kind of builds up that way too.
Yeah. And plus
I like
then,
that.
Yeah. And plus people then with various, you know, ideas of what they've been doing, you know, can tell it to other people, and they can start doing stuff as well, you know. I have my own personal kind of battle here, you know, with, I won't even call it a battle, it's basically like just non-compliance, you know, and all the return to sender and all that. And I know, like, you know, people know about that, you know, and maybe some people don't, but they can find out about it, you know, they can, you know, there's various information out there about that. But, like, that's the kind of thing I do as well. It's kind of like living the way, you know, you want to live, you know. With, you know, it's not like going out and trying to educate a cop on the side of the road about, you know, you being a sovereign or whatever, you know.
Well, maybe that's what we need to start doing too.
Well, maybe some people are doing that, and it's brilliant. I commend them if they do, you know. And I've seen so much stuff over the years, and if any of it is even genuine, you know, there are genuine people out there, you know, fair play to them, you know. But, like, I pick my battles, and I've got my own various little things that I've been doing, you know, just not engaging with this system, you know. That's another thing, because all of it, you know, whether it's the media or politics or anything like that, it all, they always come to us as individuals at the end of the day to either put an X into a box somewhere to vote for something, because they obviously want our agreement and our consent with all this nonsense that's going on, or they wouldn't be making these elaborate, you know, situations and hoaxes and you know, changing, you know, acts and statutes, or creating new acts and statutes, I should say, and calling them laws. And, you know, that in a way as well is a way of capturing people up. It's sort of like taking people's attention, captivating your attention, you know, away from what we should be doing, you know. It's just, you know.
I agree. No, I agree we shouldn't waste our time and our energy. I just think there might be a very, very minimal funny thing that we could do, like if we agree on some terminology, like maybe something like a postcard that says, okay, look, we just write it in plain language. We've seen Sandy Hook and 9/11 are big lies. We see that it's all nonsense. Pretty sure, because of your position, you know what's going on too, and you know that these things are set up by not the government. We want that power back. Give that power back to the people. We'll support you. We want more transparency. If that's all you can achieve now, we'll take that. But basically, we have a pretty good position. We have a pretty good position to say, hey, this is something that we know now. Cut out the satellite bullshit. Stop telling us there's satellite spies everywhere. You know, cut it out.
Just... yeah, it's like keep everybody
in fear. I got an
idea.
For every politician running, we should send them a checklist. What is your position on 9/11? What is your position on the moon hoax? What is your view on JFK?
The only problem is oftentimes these are one-sided things where we wouldn't expect a response. But occasionally, yeah, maybe they will send a response, and that could be interesting.
I'd like a response from everybody, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. We should publish them.
Well, yeah, I would like to know, yeah, what is your version of this conspiracy?
Yeah.
Which version of the conspiracy do you believe? Do you believe that there was a lone gunman at Dealey Plaza? Do you believe it was the mafia? I would like to know your version. What do you think? Or do you not think it happened at all and it was an elaborate hoax, like a very tiny view found on cluesforum.info? Oh, if anyone's interested on that view, just type it into your local web browser, by the way. And go examine it yourself. That kind of thing. Let's get your views on that.
Well,
can you make them? Would you be willing to make them public? And if not, please tell us why not.
Yeah,
interesting.
Please tell us
why not is an important point, because they might say, a lot of them, I suspect, would respond something like, "I can't comment on this. It's too controversial. It's difficult to talk about. I can't talk about it." You know, they would say something like that, kind of like not answering the question. And then we might have something there too, because then we'd have something to show the average person, look, they can't talk about it. And then if we get enough people, enough politicians saying, yeah, oh, the official story, the 9/11 Commission report, that's all true. Yeah, that's good enough for me. Then we also have another interesting thing to show people, because then what we're showing is that they're all on script. They're all on script. So
Or what's your view of secret societies? Do you think that public officials should belong to secret societies? If they do belong to secret societies, is it in the public's interest to know what those secret societies stand for? Should they be disclosed? Is it important? What is your opinion on that? Are you a member of a secret society?
But here's the thing.
Is it important?
Yeah. Brilliant questions.
Is it as important as disclosing your religion? Is religion important? Let's get it all out in the open, because you're working for me. You're controlling all the tax dollars, which is just a communal pool of money, which we've entrusted for you to redistribute to people and things, and it's a very important job. So we need all these viewpoints and disclosures for the public record, so everyone can make an informed choice if they want to.
The other thing is, though, as well, as this is getting back to kind of grassroots, an individual out there that might hear this show 5 months down the road or whatever, one individual sending a registered letter to their representative is like the equivalent of, I think it's what, 4 or 500 or 4 or 5,000 people sending an ordinary letter. this is the way they look upon that when they're doing their whatever you call it, you know, when they're aggregating all these, you know, people, feedback from people. And you can imagine, you know, one solitary person sending a registered letter, and then someone else does it somewhere else, and someone else does it in the town, the next town away. Someone else does it. That is a way of getting their attention as well. You know,
that's a good one.
Maybe
we could call it or organize something like the 9/11 Disclosure Project, where we organize some kind of create a form letter that anyone can use in any jurisdiction, and have their local politician fill it out and just make it clear that it's going to be published on the 9/11 Disclosure site. And for anyone who wants the views of this particular person, because we think they're very important for people to have, public officials to have a formal disclosure on these subjects.
That's interesting. Do you think we should focus? Yeah. Because I can see this going a number of different ways. If we focused strictly on 9/11, then of course we would have a bunch of the interesting libertarian people following us and that sort of thing. If we focused on everything, I mean like every single hoax that we've been examining, it might be too much, but I'm kind of tempted to do it that way too, or maybe even send out two different ones, like one just on 9/11 disclosure and then another one on, you know, full disclosure of all hoaxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a full disclosure. It could be a checklist of and then just major events and something. It's just an idea and mark it down that this person refused to respond to it, and that's fine too. But we're just going to make a public record that this person does not want to answer that question.
I love it. I love it. This is something that feels like doing something.
Yeah, I know.
Do this.
There's one other thing I just want to say, and this is important, I think, anyway, in my mind, is to remind them, because the first thing you'll always be told is ignorance of the law is no excuse. Now, this is 2015, guys. Ignorance of either 9/11, insert anything else you want after that, is no excuse.
Yeah, they can stage. Use that phrase on us so we can turn it around on them.
Yeah.
Certainly.
They can't plead ignorance of it because it's just too, you know, especially if they're there alleging to be people that are in leadership, you know, and they're being told all this stuff, you know. So they should know all of this anyway, you know. That's just my thought on it anyway. But
Ab is here.
So I've noticed that you collected a lot of sites. You made sites like fakeologists.com and stuff. How would you feel about setting up a site like that? Or do you want me to do it? Because I could do it too.
I don't have to take ownership of it at all. It can be a collaboration. We can have multiple authors. I don't have any particular affinity or affection that I should do it. So yeah, for sure.
The idea of having it be something that is applicable to different places. So
yeah.
Well, of course. I mean, Dell would have to probably customize it because there's probably all sorts of crazy ones in Ireland that we never even hear about. You know, little local PSYOPs and stuff. But
yeah. Well, we could just focus on the worldwide ones, really. I think one of the efficiencies and advantages of this technocracy globalization world that everyone seems to know everything about everything everywhere major. We all know about the big one in Ottawa and Sydney. They're all global, Paris. So that's one advantage. We can use that wonderful media to our advantage. So I think our local politician really has a vested interest in Sandy Hoax, because it wasn't long after that our provincial government passed a law allocating money so all our local schools now have all video cameras, which most people just walk right by and they wedge the door open, but somebody got the money for a minute or two.
Yeah.
So they're very applicable. It's very applicable to know what everyone's stand is on Sandy Hoax even here, because money was spent. Rules were changed. Inconveniences were made.
Other countries doing things like, well, because America did it, and then that's the conversation is over. They're like, well, because America did this, so that's relevant to everyone in the whole world.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
People do that.
Yeah. Why would someone on the far reaches of Australia care about what allegedly happened in Connecticut? Ridiculous to think that there should be any impact from that far
Especially
away.
Especially considering that they're supposedly, you know, owned by different people, Australia and America, supposedly.
Yeah, well, we all know the truth of that. It all boils down to these different layers funneling up to one group or one mega corporation of some description.
I think it's like a conglomerate of different groups and different committees. And I would say maybe one group's family, one group's business.
Yeah, there's a lot of super concentration. You don't have to look too far, I don't think, but
yeah,
they have super layers. There's so much we can do. There's so many little things that can be done. Again, if you wanted to start something, we can collaborate.
I like this idea. I really like this idea. You inspired me, and then
you spun it off
into a checklist thing. I am feeling like this could be really interesting.
Yeah, and we use the information and make it public, because that's what use is information if it's not public.
Yeah, and it's a system.
It'll be a systematic thing, and we'll make it so citizens can easily do the work. There's got to be at least one person in every town that would be inspired to print it out and send it out, because
we don't even need that. We can just do it ourselves. We don't even need that. All we need to do is just print off 1,000 copies, write a few addresses, and just start mailing them to every single politician. I send stuff to other states' politicians all the time if it's an issue that affects me. So it's just, it doesn't even matter. We don't even need to, rely on someone else being like, you know, pretending to be interested and then whoops, I accidentally lost it, or, you know, acting crazy and then making us look stupid. And I say we just do it. We just finally do something.
Yeah, I could do it. Yeah, sure. So we should develop a checklist of questions and how we could do that, and then just start a posting process where we get our responses and scan them and post them up.
Yes.
So we develop a checklist of things we think are really important for this disclosure project.
Yeah, I think 9/11 is one. That's definitely one.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook, Boston bombing. What else? Moon landing.
Yeah. Maybe all these people have opinions, but no one's ever asked them.
The election process.
That's getting a little more esoteric. But if we could get this into the conversation, as the sloganism goes, if we could start a conversation, it's just gonna create inquiry.
What about
environment, global warming, nonsense.
Global warming, yes.
Hey, guess what? The ozone hole is a hoax, by the way.
Interesting. I've heard it kind of gets bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller all the time.
Yeah, it's just seasonal.
Climate change is actually taught in schools now.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
It's a subject now. It's an Agenda 21 global UN education curriculum subject. It's come to our province for sure.
This one is interesting to me, but I don't know if it's interesting to anyone else.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs. I like that. Boy, Sammy did a lot of good stuff on exposing dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff.
And the 14 billion year old universe. Are we older or younger then?
Well, maybe there is no way to answer that. And the fact that they keep trying to is just shows how arrogant they are.
Right. Huh. I'm thinking timeless. It just feels better to say that.
To me, it makes more sense that it always has been, but that's just me. Yeah. I don't know.
Me too. But I'm just this little insect living on this big flat plane or this big globe or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. Sirius, did you hear me say that there's this plane circling overhead earlier?
I did not hear you say that.
Holy crap. It was just like going right over my head. Circling, I did it like 3 times and it's back.
Mm. I hear the helicopters. The helicopters in Arizona are pretty bad. They just are like constant.
Yeah, what is that?
Like all the time.
Is there a Navy base nearby or a Navy Army?
Well, I guess it's close enough to Tucson and the Boneyard, which is supposedly where the chemtrail planes are built and land, but. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to know. What are they doing? What's
I think
Dell
wanted a break. What do you think?
All right. Ab, can you hang around till after a break? Mr. Ab? Abberato? Mr. Barato?
He's not responding.
Maybe he took his own break. All right, we'll take a 5-minute break.
Okay, sounds good.